The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. The cohesion there, the holding together, is that every one of these is setting up the distinction between the faithful and the unbeliever, right? And you gotta read that. Whenever it says righteous in the Old Testament, it means the one who believes in the righteousification, the justification, the making righteous of you by grace, the declaration by grace alone, that you are forgiven and perfect for Jesus' sake. That's the righteous. It's not the one who has been good enough. It's the one who's been made good, declared good by God. The difference between the person who believes that, which is how we receive it, we receive this promise that we are righteous through faith alone, and the person who does not believe that and therefore chooses to try to stand on their own righteousness, which means trying to stand on their own wickedness. Because no matter how good we might be, it's always tainted. It's got the sickly ichor of our selfishness with it. And so the things we think are the best are often the things that bring the most glory to me, right? And not to you, not to us, certainly not to God. So that our best works are as filthy rags in the Lord's sight. So this distinction, this difference between the believer and the unbeliever, the one who is righteous in Jesus' sake, or for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' body, in his name, and the one who is striving to be righteous in his own name, but therefore cannot be, because nothing done for your own name can be anything other than vanity. The fear of the Lord, this faith, it prolongs life. To be righteous, to be faithful, to be in Christ is to live forever. But the years of the wicked will be cut short. Without faith, the wages of sin, what is it? It's death. The hope of the righteous brings joy. What we know is coming in the life of the world to come will be joy forevermore. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. We know that the resurrection is not going to be unto pain, but unto bliss. Yet the expectation of the wicked will perish. Whatever they dream up about tomorrow or next year or what happens after death, it will perish. It cannot stand, for it is a dream. It's made up. It's a wish and nothing more. Against this vague and empty wishfulness, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless. The way, the truth, the life, the word of God, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, forever, he is a stronghold, a mighty fortress is our God, a strengthy shield and weapon. To the one declared innocent in Jesus, God's word is more than all this universe combined could ever hope to be. But this same stone on which to build, this rock, also becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It crushes those on whom it falls. It is destruction to the evildoer, to the one who does not believe he needs to be saved. The righteous, then, built on this rock, will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. And that's in that final land, right, in paradise. Judgment day, the wicked will set his works before the Lord, says, go ahead, judge him, give me what I deserve. I've worked hard for it. Oof. And he'll be sent to where he deserves to go. But the one who sits before the Lord and says, I know what I deserve. O Lord, have mercy on me. You have promised me in Jesus' name something different. Well, you will never be removed. And your mouth then, your tongue, confesses this, praises this, speaks this. The mouth of the faithful, the righteous, brings forth wisdom. That is Jesus. Yeah? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. You did it yesterday. You brought forth Jesus. You brought forth wisdom from your mouth. Even if you weren't entirely paying attention, I encourage you to try next time, but you still did it. That's what faith does. It comes out. It speaks. the perverse tongue is going to be silenced. It's going to be cut off. What a terrible image that is. It'll be silenced. It won't be able to speak anymore. God will put an end to lies one day. But your mouth will go on praising forevermore because you bring forth the word of Jesus. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Trained in your catechism, in word and sacrament, you know what truth and falsehood are. You know how to speak the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, most acceptable things, the name of Jesus, a mighty and pure acceptable offering in God's sight, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. But the mouth of the wicked, the unbeliever, can't do that. They can only bring forth vanity, which again is perversion, which again is why Jesus entered our midst, which is what Jesus died to take away, which is that great and dreadful strife that he contended against for your sake. The fear of the Lord prolongs life.